Ja, wir sind jetzt immer noch bei Kapitel 2 von Malachi.
We're still in chapter 2 of Malachi.
Wir können vielleicht lesen Vers 10.
Let's read verse 10 to 7 in chapter 2 of Malachi. Malachi 2, starting from verse 10.
Malachi 2, Vers 10 bis 17.
Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying. So he does not regard the offering any more, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? In that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. This morning we also heard that holiness is something very important for God. We have to see that this is really on his heart. He's holy. There's no question about it. But God wants his holiness and his glory to be visible on this earth. And this has been in his heart from the very beginning. That's why it's not a small thing when we damage the holiness. God's holiness is something very important for him and has a lot to do with his purpose. Ezekiel 36. verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. In his heart, God wants to be hallowed through people whom he has sanctified for himself. And he wants to be hallowed before all the nations, among all the nations. Ezekiel 39:7, so I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. So here we see, for God, it's very important for him that his people hallow his name. And because of this, the enemy fights with all his might to corrupt mankind so that his holiness would not be revealed. We heard this morning. The enemy by so many crafty ways and attacks to really profane the holiness of God. And in the scriptures, we see that God has had this purpose in his heart from the very beginning. And from the very beginning, he wanted a holy nation. So here I will write God's purpose on the board. He's writing God's purpose. God's purpose is that he wanted to have a holy nation with the children of Israel. So he's writing down a holy nation. And if a nation, even, actually he wanted the whole nation to be holy, but when it didn't work, then he didn't give up his purpose. So he said, okay, I want a holy priesthood. And he also wanted to have the holy priesthood in the new covenant. In the new covenant, we see that he bought the church, redeemed the church with his own blood, with as ecclesia, his own people that would be holy, pure, without blemish, without wrinkle. And here we see that he wants to have his holy church.
And the Lord
we see that he fulfills his plan in the holy city, and we see that the new city, the new Jerusalem, has the holiness of God. I don't want to talk too much about the holiness of the Lord tonight because we had a whole conference where we really looked at the holiness of the priesthood. But I want to put emphasis on a certain point. What type of influence do our relationships have on his purpose and on the holiness? We have various relationships. One relationship that we have is our relationship with friends. Or with relatives. There are, of course, many other things like relationships with your colleagues at work. But there's another relationship that goes much deeper. It's a relationship with the saints, the relationship that we have among one another. And this is especially important for the expression of the Lord. And there's another relationship that is very deep, very intimate. And this is the marriage and family relationship. And kids as well. We want to see and look at these three types of relationships to see that they have a lot to do with God's purpose, because they all pertain to God's holiness, because they relate to my walk. And so if they relate to my walk, then they relate to God's holiness, because if he wants a holy nation, he says he wants us to be holy in all our conduct. So if we look, for example, at the relationship that we have with our friends, then we have to consider before the Lord to see if my friendship with the people in this world encourages the holiness with or does it actually profane the holiness? What type of influence does my friendship have with my thinking, with how I act, with my speaking? Is it such a negative influence that it defiles my speaking and that I dishonor the Lord's name? If so, then this is not a healthy relationship for us. Because our main burden to be friends with people in the world should be that we would gain them for the Lord, that they would be saved, and that they would also be able to partake of his holiness. This must always be our main purpose when we have relationships with friends in the world. If the purpose is another, then we have to be very watchful. You can't make the unholy things holy. If I adapt to the friends in the world, go to the movies with them, then it will have a negative influence on me, not the other way around. So which relationships with friends disrupts or disturbs the holiness and doesn't have a good influence on the holiness? And another aspect is our dealing with the saints. I was really happy that we're finally together again. It also shows an aspect of the holiness of the Lord, and it shows his glory. And I really would desire that it would be more revealed in our dealings with one another. Our dealings with one another should not be natural. When we're sitting at the table together, the first word to the last word, is it just about our house, our work, our problems, about travel? This is not a word that builds up or edifies. He says we shouldn't speak like the world speaks. No idle word should come out of our mouth. If the Lord shows us that our dealing with one another has a lot to do with his purpose, with the holy priesthood, then we would be much more watchful in our dealings with one another. Then our desire would be to speak a word of edification, of encouragement. Because when I meet with the saints, do I have the desire to receive much from them and to also share with them? This is the main reason why I come together with the saints, that I would receive life from them and they from me. And that's why our dealings with one another, how we interact with one another, is very important. Because this is the way the Lord reveals his holiness. If our interaction with one another is the same as the interaction in the world, then where is His holiness? How can the holiness of the Lord be revealed? If the whole time we're just in arguments and we have idle talk and we even speak badly about one another, where is the glory for the Lord? I hope the Lord would put this on our hearts to be more watchful in how we speak, that we are saints who are gathered together, who have a holy interaction with one another, so that His holiness would not be profaned. And another important relationship that has to do with the holiness of the Lord is marriage, the family life with kids. Actually, this is the majority of the time that we have in our lives with one another. This aspect of marriage and family has a lot to do with God's purpose. We should not think that marriage is something private, that our family life is something private, and that God's purpose is something different. Because the family belongs fully to the service of the Lord. It's inseparable. I used to think, when my kids are older, then I have time to serve the Lord. And the Lord said, no, you have to serve me now. And served me by serving the kids. And the kids belong to your service in my plan. That's why it's very important for the Lord. And we recognize this also, that the enemy does everything and is doing everything to destroy the marriage relationship. The covenant of marriage is the first covenant that He gave to mankind. It was the first covenant, that is, namely, the one of marriage. That they should be together as man and wife, and that He hates divorce. So for God, from the very beginning, marriage had a lot to do with His purpose, and has a lot to do with His purpose. And in the Word, we see that the enemy did everything to destroy this. The first murder occurred in the family life. Cain murdered his own brother. And if we continue to see, we see that one of the descendants of Canaan was Lamech. Cain was Lamech. And his word is the destroyer, the corrupter. Why? He was the first one who had two wives. And there we see how the covenant that God gave man was broken. He was the first one who brought this corruption into this important area of God's purpose. So this must show us that the enemy is trying to fight against this the whole time. And it's not only then, but it's much more the case today. If you look at the world today, every second marriage ends up in divorce. And I read, even among believers, every fourth marriage ends up in divorce. And this has a significance. Here we have to see that the enemy is trying everything to fully dissolve this covenant that God gave man, that it wouldn't be a marriage between man and wife. At the beginning, it was just about rights for the homosexuals, but it's not about that. It's about corrupting man. The goal is that when the family is destroyed, then God doesn't have his holy nation. That's why this corruption is going to all the way to the level of the kids at school. You can choose if you want to be a boy or a girl, for example. It's all a system of the enemy. And on the other hand, you have to see or think about how much is invested in promoting healthy, normal marriage. Nothing is being done for this. And this has to show us today that the enemy has a very clear purpose to destroy the marriage and family. And if the enemy is fighting so much against this, we must realize that this is very and especially important for God and should be the same for us. Because where in Zion, that's where marriage and family life should be holy. Well, how does a holy marriage and family work? It's where God's order rules. God's order is very important in the marriage life. And let's read 1 Corinthians 11:2. It says, Christ is the head of man, of every man. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And then it talks about the children being obedient to their parents. So he has given us an order that man is the head of the wife. And that the children should be submissive and obedient to their parents in the Lord. And what's very important is that this order that God ordained works only in the Spirit, only in Christ, only if Christ is the head of man. To say, you have to obey me. Because you have to submit to me. And he provokes the woman. He provokes the wife. And then at the end you say, I can't tolerate this wife anymore. And at the end you want to flee. And then the Lord says, don't divorce. And then you say, no, the wife you gave me has hardened my heart. And at the end of the day, God is then at fault. So we have to see that the order of God, the flesh can't keep this order. It's not about a fleshly authority. It's about a spiritual authority that we find only in the Spirit and in the relationship with Christ. If Christ is the head of every man, then the man can be head of the woman and the family. God says that the husband should be a good example for his family. And this has a lot to do with the husband's relationship with the Lord. That he would know Christ as his head all the time and live under Christ as his head. And for the wife, on the other hand, if she doesn't walk in the Spirit but lives in the flesh, she will never make it to keep this order because the flesh rebels against God's purpose all the time. It cannot keep God's order. It won't work. The fruit of the flesh is always rebellion. Even if the husband is living in the Spirit, the wife will fight against him because the flesh cannot keep this order. And that's why the wife also has the responsibility to take care of her spiritual life. Why? Because it has a lot to do with God's purpose. We have to see if the Lord's name is sanctified, hallowed in the marriage. If we live in the flesh, we are really profaning the Lord's holy name. My flesh will not hallow the Lord's name. And this also obviously has an influence on the kids. How can the kids be submissive to the parents if there's rebellion between the parents? What will they see? How will they learn submission or obedience if there's always arguments? Oh, for example, if the dishwasher is not emptied out, what will the kids learn? If every small thing will make me aggravated, and then I tell the kids, you need to be obedient. That's not a good example for the kids. That's why our interactions with one another is especially important if we have kids. If we're not watchful, sooner or later, we will reap the fruits of it. Often we say we'll reap the fruits later. And when the Lord comes, we will receive the fruits of what we have sown. But you will see this today already with your kids. Within a few years, you will see what you have sown. You will see the result of it. So it's really sad for the Lord that if the kids are not gained for the Lord because of our own behavior, this is a major loss. And another important element of marriage is love. A marriage and family without the love of the Spirit will not work. You can never have enough of the love of the Lord. You can never love your kids enough. You can never love your wife enough. That doesn't exist in the Word. It's more the case that we are lacking in this love. And I don't mean the love of the flesh, this selfish love. Maybe at the beginning it was more something about the physical outward appearance. This love passes away, but the love of the Lord goes much deeper. Recently I told my wife, I'm astonished myself, that I love my wife now more than I did at the beginning. People say, oh, it's normal when the love plateaus and then you just kind of live with one another. It's almost like just marriage out of practicality. But the love of God goes much deeper. It's much more precious. It's a love that carries the weakness of the other. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that doesn't become bitter. This is pretty strong. And this love is the foundation of a marriage and family life that is holy for God. Without the love of God, no holy marriage will exist or come into being. That won't work because love is a fruit of the Spirit. And that's why we have to really pay attention to this. That we would have the order of the Lord in our family life and also have the love of God rule in our family life. Because the love of God really characterizes our relationship with one another. The way you speak, your counterpart, the person you're speaking to will sense if it was spoken out of the love of God or if it was with another intention. And this has an effect on the atmosphere among the kids. We drove here with the car and then we got stuck in traffic. And I said to my wife, oh, the GPS says, if I take a detour, I will save 5 minutes. And then inwardly, I thought, this detour will make me take more detours. Inwardly, I had this feeling. But then I said, come on, let's just take the detour to save the 5 minutes. And then I drove out. And as I wanted to come back onto the highway, the exit was closed again. And I had to drive in circles on another detour. And in the car, I said, oh, had I not done that? And now I did take the detour and ugh. And what did my son say? He's like, Dad, I want to go home. I take me home now. And then my youngest daughter started screaming and crying. And I realized it was like a switch. And now everything was starting to blow up. And inwardly, I thought, it's astonishing how it just switched. The atmosphere just switched. And I said to my wife, let's pray. And let's sing a song to the Lord. And then we flip the switch in the other direction. And it was really the case. We pray and we sang a song. And immediately the peace of the Lord was there again. And this showed me how fine this love is. How much the holiness has an effect and influence on our kids and on our interaction with one another. And I want to read a verse about how important the kids are for the Lord. Verse 15 in chapter 2, but did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? And then he says, he seeks godly offspring. This is such a privilege. God entrusts us with his godly offspring. The kids are for God. The kids are something very special for God. That's why we should never look down upon them and think they have not much to do with God's purpose. Paul said, if you cannot take care of your own household, then you are worse than an unbeliever. I think it's in one of the Timothy's, 1 or 2 Timothy. And this is very important for God's purpose. How can we be a holy priesthood, a holy nation for the Lord, if the family life and the marriage life is not made holy for the Lord? Then how can the church be holy? It can't be that we want to, you know, try to gain someone from the outside and then all our own kids walk away. That doesn't fit. That is not the purpose and what the Lord has appointed for a holy family. The Lord said, this one was born in Zion. This is a special privilege that our kids are born in Zion. That's something we have to really treasure. And we want to gain them for the Lord, that they would serve God as priests. You know, they will go on much more quickly than we have gone on. There might be people who are that come from the outside. They always bring some baggage with them, religious concepts, habits from the world. And it takes time for the Lord to deal with this. But in the church, there we have to have a generation that grows up, that enter into the service of the Lord. This is something very special. And if this doesn't work, then at the end, we're just occupied with trying to fix marriage problems, because if the marriage doesn't work, then there would be arguments and strife, and then everyone has to go to some seminar to try to fix their problems. No, this actually distracts us from God's purpose. If you're so occupied with marriage problems, how will you have this holy nation, God's purpose, before your eyes? How will you have it on your heart? That's why we have to pay attention to our walk in our marriage so much, because the consequences are not only ones I will carry, but my wife and my kids and the church will bear the consequences. And this has to show us what a responsibility we have to take heed, to have a holy conduct, a life in the Spirit, and also in our dealings and interactions with one another. I hope the Lord would really put His holiness on our hearts, that we would have His desire, that it would really be expressed through all of our relationships.